Jazz, 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, Jamal Ahmed. And, you know, a lot of things are still happening in the ATL as we wind down the summertime. And one event in particular is happening out there in Fayetteville at the Southern Grand Amphitheater with Jazz and Pink on Saturday, September the 26th. And I actually have the young lady who's going to be setting things off and opening with the man Antoine Knight. I want to welcome Miss Dara Carter. How you doing, Dara?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So first and foremost, this isn't far. That's not going to be far from home because you were born and raised in
Fayetteville. I was born and raised in Fayetteville, yes.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be cool to have all your people
right,
there representing yes. for you. Mm-hmm. They may fill up half the amphitheater.
Right, right. Hopefully.
So let's talk about growing up in Fayetteville. What was it like growing up in Fayetteville?
It was great. I love the suburbs. It was very quiet and peaceful. And I do think that really helps for my music. I like being in the quiet spaces, and that's where I get a lot of inspiration. So I really appreciated growing up in that area.
Right, right, right. And you went to what high school again?
I went to Sandy Creek.
Were you involved in the arts in high school?
I wasn't in, you know, any of the band or anything like that. I did sports at my school. Most of my music was to myself. Kind of away from school.
Got you. Well, talk about, you know, I mean, the best place to learn music is at home. You know, my mother and father taught me a lot about music and it's carried me over into my adulthood. Mm-hmm. Talk about home and the influences that were coming out of your house.
Well, my parents put my sisters and I into piano lessons when we were three, classical piano lessons. And I trained all the way through my life. So piano was my number one instrument. I started the flute. I did a little bit of flute in middle school. I dropped that after a while. But the piano was that grounding instrument. You know, that was the introduction to learning to play an instrument. But other than that, I mean, I grew up listening to my dad's music. That's all he did was play music throughout the house. You know, Stevie Wonder, Prince, Parliament, Funkadelic, all the old school type music. So music had a very big part in growing me up. So there was nothing else for me to do but music. You know, it was just kind of a part of me growing up.
Now those are some old school influences.
Yes.
For someone so young. Mm-hmm. What did you take from an artist, say, like Stevie Wonder? What did Stevie Wonder leave on you?
What I loved about Stevie Wonder and artists like Stevie Wonder are their timelessness. There's something very intriguing to me about an artist who is able to transcend different time periods but still keep the integrity of themselves and their music and their style so that people and their children and even their children's children can appreciate his music. So that's what I loved about him.
You know, and one thing about Stevie Wonder is Stevie Wonder is probably hands down one of the greatest songwriters of any generation,
right?
Mm-hmm. Has written so many classic songs that are now part of the American Songbook Part Two. But I noticed here that you wrote your very first song at a very young age. I think Stevie Wonder started out about 5 or 6, and you're almost there. You started when you were 8 years old.
8 years old.
What was that? What was that all about?
Well, my dad he bought me a keyboard, a Phantom Roland X8, and I was experimenting on it, you know, with the sounds and everything. It was new to me, and just from there, I don't know. I just something came out. It was my first song was instrumental. I didn't start singing on my songs, and I think it was called Flight Within, and you know, it was a quick.
What was the name of your first song?
Flight Within.
That's a deep title for an 8-year-old.
Right, right. a lot of the songs I wrote at a young age were very, very, very deep and meaningful. And you know, going back, being 21 now, and going back and listening to what I wrote when I was 8, 16, 13, 15, you know, my meanings were very deep. And that's why I recognize that the songwriting that I do doesn't really come from me. It comes from something deeper,
right.
Which is awesome to me.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's talk about some of your kind of modern influences. I see that you're a fan of my good friend, Miss Ndiaye, and you actually have a few of my friends,
yes,
who are part of your in modern influences. Talk about some of the people you're checking out now.
Ndiaye definitely has always been one of my favorites.
And what is it about her?
I love her individuality and her style. When she first came out, you know, it was different. Right. She was not afraid to just do what she wanted to do and be herself. And her themes. Her themes are always very positive, and that's what I try to do in my songs. I actually got a chance to sing for her once. It was great. She enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And another influence, Speech. And his Speech, he was actually one of the members of Arrested Development, mm-hmm. for those who don't know. And his album was actually the first album I actually remember hearing, you know. I think I was 3 years old, but it was the first that I remember actually listening to the music, not just hearing it in the background. Mm. And I remember that was the first CD that I actually took and put into a CD player and played. Wow. And I know all the words. It was his record, Hoopla.
Right.
So he was actually my first influence musically, and I've known him since I was young because his son went to school with me.
Yeah, he lives in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm,
he's been a great mentor and helped me throughout the years. Mm. I'm actually starting. He just started a teaching program, and I'm one of his instructors. And so we will be starting that in October, and I'm very excited. I'm teaching his songwriting course.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I also see someone like Esperanza Spalding.
Yes.
What is it about Esperanza?
Esperanza, same as Indy. I love her style, her individuality, and you listen to her music. It's so innovative, and. I don't know, she's always been a very big part of my songwriting since she came out. Mm. I noticed that a lot of what I do mimics some of the things that she does stylistically and things like that.
Mm. Well, you know, I was listening to your first single. Is that your very first single?
This is my first single to be released, yes.
Okay, which is entitled?
It's entitled Who You Are. It'll be coming out in about 2 weeks.
Okay, congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. And when what really struck me about that was the strong production, mm-hmm. But also your voice is really walking this line. It's toying this line between soul music and jazz music. It's a perfect combination of both. Is that what you're trying to get across as a vocalist?
That's exactly what I'm trying to get across. I am trying to... One thing that I feel is important right now in music is bringing back the soul, the passion. And one thing that I want to make sure that I do in all of my songs is portray that passion, that soul sound. And I've been experimenting with that soul on top of like hip hop beats and different types of beats that you wouldn't expect. And I'm really liking the effect and the outcome of it. So. Yeah, that song is a very strong one for me.
Did you write that?
I wrote that. I produced it as well.
Oh, you produced that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is major. And the reason I say that, because, you know, when you look at popular music and you look at the entire game, women don't really take that reign of producing their own music. I mean, you have some sisters like Terry Lynn Carrington, mm-hmm. who's really doing some big things with her latest album with all those wonderful vocalists. But you don't really have that where women are producing their own records.
Right. I actually was at the International Music Conference last night, and there was a producer. They had a producer showcase, and it was interesting to me because there was one woman there of all of the producers that were being showcased, and I was actually commenting to my friend, you know, you don't see a lot of women doing that, and I love that. When I do see a woman doing that, I love it. They're great. We're wonderful. I don't engineer. I mm-hmm. produce. But
that's coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and growing up, I did. I did Pro Tools. You know, I know Logic. I know the ins and outs of the programs. But I'm going to learn it because, yeah.
That's pretty major, though. That is very major. That's just pretty
thank
major.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Dara, I want to ask you because I noticed one thing on your... on your resume, which is very impressive, is that you performed at the Apollo.
I did.
And when you perform at the Apollo, that's almost like baptism by fire.
Right.
You know, people aren't too kind.
Right.
I will say that they're very honest,
mm-hmm.
At the Apollo. If they like you, they will show that. If they don't, they will show that as well. But you were able to place third and fourth at the age of 15.
Right.
What was that experience like?
It was an amazing experience. I was 15, and you know, I had never performed, you know, in a city like New York, and I'd heard about the Apollo, you know, growing up, and I heard it was brutal, you know, going there, everyone saying, oh, they might boo you. I wasn't really afraid of that too much. I decided to do an original song. Actually, it was called Prayer to a Blessed Sky. It's about homelessness. Mm. And I sat up there. I played the piano. I sang. And, I mean, people loved it. And the first time I went, I placed third. And then they invited me back and placed fourth the second time. It was an amazing experience. Mm. I would love to do it again.
It will soon come.
Yes, definitely.
And I mean, you just have some very wonderful titles. I love the titles you have. But let's talk about some of the people that you've collaborated with, because you've collaborated with folk who we play here at WCLK. A lot of the artists, Julie Dexter and Joey Somerville. Talk about some of the folk that you've collaborated with.
Okay. Joey Somerville is actually one of my mentors. He and Phil Davis, he's an amazing trumpeteer. I met him probably about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 4, at my church. He heard me perform one of my songs called Born to Sing, and he approached me and said, you know, he wanted to work with me. And since then, we have cultivated a very great relationship. He mentors me. He produces some of my music. And, I mean, I called him this morning about the interview, you know, to go over tips. And that's pretty much the relationship that we have. Phil Davis. I've known Phil Davis since I was about, I would say, 8. Mm. I used to attend the jazz camp here at Clark Atlanta University.
The Duke Pearson camp.
Mm-hmm. I attended that about 6 to 7 years in a row.
That's wonderful.
So I know Professor Patterson very well. And Phil Davis, I met him there. And, you know, he, as being a pianist, I would always work with him and gravitate towards him. And since then, I've performed with him. And I love performing with him. He's one of my favorite musicians. And he gives, you know, he's also a mentor of mine. So he gives me advice. I remember talking to him when I was deciding where to go to college, trying to figure out if I'm going to go to Berklee School of Music or not. So the two of them have a really, really close place in my heart, you know, as mentors. I also work with Julie Dexter. She did some vocal coaching with me. I performed with her when I was younger, I think about 13 or 14 at some event in Atlanta. I've also worked with Sean Michael Ray. He's actually going to be playing with me at the event on the 26th. Jay Fly. I've worked with Jay Fly and his How Big Is Your Dream Foundation. I've had a couple performances with him. Terrell Sass. He's on one of my tracks. I'm working with John Bill right now as a engineer for a couple of my songs. He actually mastered the song that you heard, the single. He mastered it.
Got you. Mm-hmm. He's great, too.
Yes, he's great.
Great. So, I mean, you just mentioned your live performance. What can people expect on Saturday, September the 26th, up there at, or down there, shall we say, at Southern Grand Theater?
They should expect an hour of entertainment. I'm extremely excited. I've been working hard on it. I will be introducing some new songs, new material, and throwing in some songs that they've heard before. And I'm very excited. I have some great musicians up there with me. Like I said, I have Sean Michael Ray. Also, John Bill will be playing secondary keys with me. Josh Baker on drums, and some great background vocalists. I have a cellist. So it's going to be great. They should expect a great show. And I know that Antoine Knight and Jasmine Pink will also deliver. So.
Right. But you will set it off.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Properly.
Definitely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, with us getting out of here, I want you to impart some words on some of our younger listeners, because I do love the fact that, you know, at your age, you do have a lot of understanding of how things work in music. I actually started doing my radio show at your age, probably a year younger, here at WCLK. So it's very refreshing to see someone young understand and get it all. But what would you impart on some of your peers who may not be taking this path musically, but they should be? Because, I mean, the thing is, you're kind of entrenched in the culture of black music, you know, classic, present, and even the future. You represent the future.
Mm-hmm. I would say to the young listeners to always make sure that you keep the integrity of your sound and the integrity of your music. One thing that I've noticed by going through the industry so far is that there is a huge push to be a part of a sound that's already there, and anything different you know, people might not understand it at first. They might tell you, you know, that might not work out. Try sounding like this person. Try sounding like that person. And especially to the young women, have that integrity of staying yourself, your style, your sound, and whatever you decide as far as not crossing boundaries. Make sure that you stay in the lane that you established from the beginning. Don't let anybody sway your opinion, sway who you are as a person. Keep that, because that's what's important. You know, that's what's gonna come out on the track when you sing, or what's gonna come out on the stage when you perform. That's what I would say.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wise words right there.
Thank you.
If folk wanna find out more information about you, Dara, how can they do so?
I am on all the social media. I am on Instagram, Dara Carter Music, Twitter, Dara Carter, Facebook, Dara Carter Artist Fan Page. I also have a website, DaraCarter.com. And yes, I also am on YouTube, so under Dara Carter.
Okay, wonderful. I'll make sure I look up some of those videos as soon as we get out of here.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was the voice of Dara Carter. She's going to be performing at the Southern Grand Amphitheater in Fayetteville. Opening up for Jasmine Pink, and also she'll be joined by the man Antoine Knight. This is going to happen Saturday, September the 26th at 6 o'clock p.m. God bless you and all your future endeavors, Dara.
Thank you so much, and I'd like to thank WCLK for the place that they've had in my life throughout the years as well.
It's our honor and our pleasure. Thank you.
All right.